Hey everyone, thanks for checking this out on Facebook Live. This is our second edition of In Addition. I'm Pastor John. I've got Pastor Vern here.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm glad you're watching this. If you're watching it live with us, if you're catching it after the fact, listening on the podcast, watching on YouTube, thank you for joining us. We really enjoyed the first one and appreciated your feedback from that, and we're excited to do it again as we kind of, this is our final thing with Job, at least
right.
For now, right? We've had all four messages, so we're going to unpack it a little more.
Yeah.
And one thing, another really strong message, great way to end the series this weekend. One thing I wrote down was a quote that you had. It said, "You cannot change your heart. Only God can change your heart. But you can change your mind. So if I will change my mind, God will change my heart." I love that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I love that too, John. And I came across that as I was studying and preparing for the message. And I watched a pastor, John Corson. He was preaching on Job and forgiveness. And I watched his message, and he used that line. I don't know where, maybe that's original with him. I don't know where he got it from. But I really liked it too. It just made so much sense to me because, you know, we have people. I have people. I've been in conversation with people, and where they want to experience a heart change. You know, and they don't want to feel angry anymore. They don't want to feel hurt. They don't want to carry bitterness and that kind of thing. But how do you get that out of your heart? You know, and I've often said to people, well, you know, you have to think differently about things. You have to learn a new way of thinking. You have to start to learn to think like Jesus thinks. And you have to get, you know, this is why we read scripture and we pray, we talk to God, and we fellowship together, because, you know, we need to go through a transformation in the way that we think about things. But, you know, I'm kind of complicating it. And what I really like about the way he put it is he simplified it. You know, we can't change our heart. We can't just pull the bitterness or the anger or the hurt out of there. But we can change the way we think through our reading of Scripture and so on. And if we will change the way we think, if we will camp on new thoughts, you know, and retrain our minds to think in different ways, in biblical ways, then we open that door for God to change our hearts.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what we want, right? We want the kinds of hearts that don't think the things that lead us into trouble. We want new hearts, and God promises us new hearts through a relationship with Christ. So, yeah,
and
I really like
that. Only
it too.
He can do that too, which
only
I like.
He
and
can.
I think about a meeting I had with somebody, and life circumstances had kind of put them in a position where they realized, I don't like who I am.
Right.
I look in the mirror, I don't like the person I am. What do I do? And that's when I said, only God can change your heart.
Right.
You know, and so he did. He drew close to God, and he is a different person now. His heart has been changed, but it started with him deciding, I don't like who I am.
Right.
What can I do? How do I draw close to God to ultimately change who I am?
Yeah, there's this cooperative thing that I think is so beautiful that happens between us and the Holy Spirit. You know, we come to that place of surrender, you know, of repentance, a place where we say, I don't like who I am anymore, like you're saying, and I need to be made new, right? Mm-hmm. Made anew. And when we open ourselves up to God's Spirit and let him go to work in our hearts, man, beautiful things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of, that leads to part of what the topic was this weekend, was about rebukes, right? And rebuke is, it's a strong word, and those are hard to receive. And we'll talk about receiving them from God in a little bit. But what things influence the way you receive that? So if someone's confronting you, what are things, you know, whether it's the person giving it, the tone of voice, what kind of things do you find impact that?
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before we went on, and and that we don't, you know, when you talk about being rebuked by another person, that's hard.
Yeah,
that's hard to take a lot of times, right? But you're right. There are things that can make it a lot easier for us to hear a rebuke, and a rebuke is really it's a correction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a way of saying to somebody, you know, what I see in your life isn't lining up with who I know you want to be, who God wants you to be. And so I need to tell you about that because I love you. And I think that's the first thing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if somebody loves me and really cares about me, and I know that they do, because we have a relationship with each other, because they've lived that out with me, I've experienced their love, and I know that they have my best interest at heart, well, if that person comes at me and says, I need to talk to you about something that I see in your life that isn't right, that's a lot easier to take. So their motivation and their love for me, I think, is the first thing, knowing that they care about me. Tone of voice, nobody likes to have a finger pointed at them, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't either, you know. Somebody starts to attack me and I feel attacked, I get defensive and I get my back up and I'm pretty good with words. They're my stock in trade. And you know, in the past, I think not so much anymore, but in the past, I've used my words in ways to fight back mm-hmm. with people when I have felt defensive. But what keeps me from feeling defensive, or at least as defensive, is if people, if their tone of voice is genuine caring, you know, and they're not demeaning me, or making me feel small or stupid, you know, those kinds of things, I start to get prickly yeah. around that. But if they can just speak to me in a gentle way, I like what Peter says, you know, about defending our faith to people who don't believe what we believe. He says we should do that with a gentle spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think if people speak to me gently and keep their voice, even practical things like, you know, just maybe lower the voice a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and let me know they care again.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that motive certainly ties into there a lot. I think for me, like time and location it's got to be the right place and the right time. And if I, you know, said something terrible in a message and in the lobby, you were like, hey, we got to like that.
Screw that up, John.
Yeah, that's your job to do. Right. But if it happened out in the lobby in front of, I would feel defensive. Like you said, that would be my, even if I was totally wrong. So sure. I think that's
why scripture says, right? Take people aside. You know, you start out doing that privately.
Yeah.
Right. And timing, just real quick, you know, when Deb and I got married, that was one of the things that we had to kind of figure out with each other. When I first got home from work, you know, walked in the door, that's not the time to lay a lot of stuff on me. You know, I'm decompressing there. I just need a few minutes. And we figured that out, you know, and I'm a lot better if I'm in a space where, you know, I'm feeling more relaxed and I'm ready to receive what she or anyone else has to say.
Maybe get a bite to eat before you do that. Right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I think when I think about rebukes that I have received that were effective, the first thing that comes to my mind is Amy confronting me after I had started drinking again when we were married, because it was all of those things. She did not do it until after. She did it the next day, which was a smart move for a variety of reasons. But it was done in what you said, in a loving way, and in a way that said, you know, not like this is what you're doing and you're screwing this up. It was, you're better than this. Mm-hmm. The person that I married was better than this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what we talked about our life being together, and you're not upholding your end of that. And it was effective. I've not drank since then. So I think of like what you want from a rebuke of that coming, that certainly was it. Yeah. But at the wrong time, the wrong place, or a, you know, you're turning into a loser and that's not what I expected, that wouldn't have gone nearly as well. Mm-hmm. So that's when we're receiving a rebuke. When you have to have that kind of conversation with someone, you have to have a confrontation or thing, how do you approach it? What are things that you deliberately do to kind of try and ensure the best outcome for that?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the first things I do is I want to check my heart. You know, I want to ask myself those questions. Why do I feel a need to talk with this person about this? You know, how important is it? Right. Mm-hmm. Simple question. Do I really need to address this with this person, or is this more my issue? You know, am I having a problem and I need to figure out what that's about? So what's my motivation? Am I looking for an opportunity to kind of one up somebody, or do I really care about them enough to say, I'm worried about you, or like Amy did with you. I love that. You know, you're better than this. And I just want you to reach your potential, to be everything God created you to be. So I want to check my heart. I want to pray. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. I want to pick the right time and place. Like you said, I want to do that in a private arena. You know, I want to make sure as much as I can that the person is in a place where they can receive what I have to say. I don't catch them at a bad time, or, you know, try to throw it in when I know there's a whole lot of other things going on, but really have the time. And that's, I guess, another piece of it. I want to make sure that we can talk about this. I don't want to hit and run, you know, where you drop something on somebody and say, well, and I don't have time to talk about it. I got to get out of here. If it's serious enough to sit down with somebody about and, you know, that kind of an issue, you want to make sure you have time to work it out. And then I want to let them know after we're done talking about it, that the reason I brought this up is because I really do care. And that it's not easy. It's not easy to give those rebukes.
Yeah.
It's not easy to receive them. So acknowledging that this is a little uncomfortable, but it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'll stop there.
Well, I'm trying to find that healthy lane, right? A lot of people, I think, are conflict allergic. They're going to avoid it at all costs. They don't want to do it. They don't want to have those conversations, even when they're needed. And then some people are conflict-oriented, conflict-driven.
Yes.
And I think I used to be like that. God has helped me as he's changed my heart to hopefully be able to have conflict when I need to, but I don't seek it out anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's that healthy segment in there that says, I don't love conflict. I can do it when I need to. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not if I don't have to. I'm not going to go out and find it. How about when you receive a rebuke from God? Have you ever experienced that?
And kind of
how did that happen?
You know, one of them, the one that comes right to mind, maybe because it's the most significant one in my life, and I've shared this story a few times in our church and with other people, is when after a number of years of being in relationship with Christ, but really kind of holding back on that relationship and kind of wanting to, you know, do my thing and be in charge of my life, but also have this relationship with Jesus, which doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I tried to do that for quite a while and it was getting me nowhere. And there was a moment, very real moment, where God spoke to me in my head, in my heart, but very clearly about that, the fact that I was playing games with him, and that if I wanted to get anywhere in my relationship with him, if I really wanted this heart change that we're talking about and all of that, I needed to get serious, and I needed to, you know, we use the term in the church, surrender. I needed to surrender, which it's the best term I have for what I experienced. I needed to give up trying to run my life my way and say, I give it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't a hard one to take because I think God spoke to me in the right place, the right time, with Scripture. I was actually reading Psalm 51 at the time, and that's what he used to speak to me. Created me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. And he just said to me, Vern, that's for you. Mm. That's for you. That's what you need to hear. And I knew it. You know, and so I don't know if that's exactly the situation you're talking about. I was in a place where I was uncomfortable with my life. I didn't like the way things were going. I knew that, and God spoke a very simple truth to me that opened my eyes. And I experienced it as a loving rebuke, and it did make a difference. Shortly after that, I did surrender to the Lord. And since then, my agenda has been to give it all over to him all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that certainly speaks to the value of giving God that chance to speak into your life every day. I mean, if you had, you know, gotten up late or you'd been rushing that morning, you hadn't had that chance, I think he could have gotten that message to you at a different time. But, you know, I tell people that all the time. If in these chairs is the only time you give God a chance to speak in your life, you're limiting how often he has and what he can say to you. Whereas you have that time, that 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, every morning, you're giving God that chance to say, you know, again, change my heart, change who I am, show me those. So always can't overstate, I think, the importance of that being a step in people's spiritual journey to say, every day I'm going to sit down and connect with God.
Yeah.
Now,
I won't say there haven't been times when I have struggled with God's rebuke too, because I have, you know, even after that. And another incident comes to mind where Deb and I were having a bit of a disagreement with each other. It was actually a way more on my part than hers. She was completely in the right and hadn't done
That's
anything.
That's how ours go, too.
She hadn't done anything wrong, but I was upset about something. And And you know, I in that moment, I wanted to be angry with her, but at the same time, I experienced God saying to me, "You have no reason to be angry with her, and this is really your problem." Mm-hmm. And you know, if I do recall very, and this is just a few years ago, wanting so badly to be able to hold on to this anger, but knowing and hearing from God, no, you need to let that go. And I did, you know, after a bit, and I apologized to her. So, you know, that rebuke wasn't kind of a, you know, a harsh rebuke, but it was just, I think, a result of reading scripture, praying, being in fellowship with other people, and listening to God, really wanting this heart change, and God will use that. You know, He will keep teaching us what we need to know.
Yeah. So as we wrap up Job, 4-week series here, what's your biggest personal takeaway from encountering Job again and kind of living in this story for a month?
Yeah. Well, I'm almost embarrassed to say it because I think, like a lot of people, when we, you know, decided to do this series, you know, I was thinking mostly about the suffering piece, the suffering angle, which is certainly there in Job. You know, Job suffered tremendously, and that's a big part of his story. But the more I studied it and the more we talked about it in here, the more I really just started focusing on this idea that why do we love God? You know, because that was Satan's accusation, yeah. Right? People only love you because, speaking of God, because you're good to them. Mm-hmm. And through Job's suffering, God was able to kind of put it in Satan's face and say, see, that's not true. But it really made me stop and think about that question, yeah. You know. And I asked our congregation a couple times, you know, to reflect on that. Why do we love God? You know, do we worship God because he's been good to us? If we lost it all, like Job did, would we continue to worship God? Mm-hmm. Because if we would say at that point, well, I'm done, God let me down, I'm out of here, we prove Satan right.
Yeah.
But you know, you've experienced hard things in your life. I've experienced hard things in my life. People in our church have experienced hard things. And what I really appreciate is knowing that there are people, and including us, I think, who continue to worship God through the hard times and prove that Satan was wrong. It's not just about the good things that God gives us. God is great to us. I mean, his grace is amazing. His blessings are overwhelming. But our love for him is more than that.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean our circumstances are always good.
No.
Yeah.
They're not.
There was, it was here last time, 2 weeks ago in an edition, where you said, I know that God is good, yeah. And I know that God is sovereign. So if I know for sure those two things are true, then how do I view this circumstance now?
Right.
And that was really profound to me to push it through that lens. I understand that these two things are inherently true in Scripture and in my life. So what does that say about what I'm experiencing right now?
Yep.
So it's been a great series. We've appreciated hearing from you guys and just hearing how this impacts you and knowing that like Pastor Vern said, a lot of people that sit in these seats on a weekend are going through some really difficult things and are choosing to love God anyway and choosing to believe he is good and he is in control. And so thank you for all that feedback and for joining us here today. We're doing this bi-weekly, but the next one would fall on July 4th. So next time for In Addition, it will be on July 3rd at noon on Facebook Live or podcast or wherever else you're listening to this with Pastor Dan and Pastor Marcia. They're going to be here. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We might get bumped. They might be way better and this might be our last one. So if it is, we've had fun. Thank you so much for joining us today on In Addition, and we hope to see you this weekend. It's ice cream weekend here Saturday and Sunday, and it's going to be an awesome weekend. So we hope to see you Saturday at 6, Sunday at 9:30 and 11. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm.